In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This homily comes to you from Saint Cyril, the patron of our church. So listen carefully. How is it that those who are born of women, out of all of those, the Lord singles out John the Baptist? He's saying he's the greatest. But he who is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. How is this possible? Well, listen to Saint Cyril. You heard in a previous letter that we read, what is the man like who forgets straightway what he looks like in a mirror? What is that man? It's a man who has an insincere heart. If you say, I love Jesus, what does that mean? It means everything. It means that inside you, what you have had is an argument with yourself. And on the one hand, you have placed everything that is a pleasure that may not be something that God wants you to persist in. And on the other, the promises of God for having a relationship with Him. And so this sifts around in you. And then at some point you say, I believe. Now the word in Greek is pisteo. So when somebody says that they put the word into action, pisteo means faith. Faith. We have an example here, do we not? Tiagia pistis, with their mother, Sophia. Pistis means faith. So faith, hope, and love. Some people say faith, hope, and charity, because out of love you give charitable things, but it's really love. Faith, hope, and love. But we don't say when somebody puts that into action that they faithed. F-A-I-T-H-E-D. You see, he believed. So the proof of your commitment to Christ in your belief is that you put it into action. You put it into action. If your faith does not have action, then you are a liar. And the worst thing anyone can ever do is to lie to themselves. Sometimes we lie to one another. That's easy to forgive. Most people, after an apology, say, it's all right. But when you lie to yourself, you don't have anyone that can correct you, because you've already agreed with the lie. This is where we get the sense of the Lord comparing the Pharisees who rejected the word of God to children who were playing in the marketplace. There was a game they played. It was a game. We'll do this and see if you react, or we'll do that and see if you react. So on the one hand, you had the great ascete, John the Baptist. He was dressed in a very rugged animal hide. Some say it was a camel's hide. It's a very terrible thing to have next to your skin. And he had a leather rope around his waist. And he ate grasshoppers. He ate grasshoppers and wild honey. No bread. Grasshoppers. The man's crazy. So they said, what? He hath a demon. Then you have Jesus Christ. He was dressed in normal robes. He had a cloth belt around his waist. He went to houses and sometimes he dined sumptuously, and he drank wine as it was given to the table. And they say, look, he's a glutton. He's a winebibber. You may have heard the word imbibe. Somebody imbibes. It means to consume through drinking. Imbibe. So it's winebibber, not bibber. A winebibber. So you have the esquite. You have the modern man. We reject them. So what are they like? And you know, in Proverbs, we were reminded in the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, one of my favorite, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the accrual of facts. You gather facts. But then out of those facts, you garner a principle from it. You see, people can have the same number of facts. They may agree on every single aspect of each one of the facts, but they come to a different conclusion as to the principle. There is no wisdom in this kind of argumentation. There should be as simple a coalescence on the result of the argument as there was on the demonstration that we accept these facts into evidence. These are the facts. Jesus Christ called himself such. He said, I am the way, the truth. Okay, what is truth? Truth is the correct apprehension of the fact and the knowledge of what the fact brings. What did the Jews think about themselves when they rejected this and they rejected that? What is left? What is the third way? They didn't offer a third way, did they? They just out of hand rejected. Think about the society in which we live today. In so many ways, our Republican democracy has become a socialist oligarchy. You have a few powerful people, and they're making decisions about how we all should behave. And we have no choice in this except in face of absolute turning away and therefore in our resistance being hit with the full power and the full force of all that they possess. We can't do as we want. We are not free. They've come to a conclusion that is completely different from ours. They look at what we call facts and they deny them. They do so for their own motivations. But going back to John, why was John the greatest? Why did the Lord call him the greatest? First of all, he is the only prophet who was prophesied about. I'm going to turn away from you for a second. Why does John the Baptist have wings? Who knows? Don't mutter. If you are brave enough to say something, say it loud enough for everyone to hear. Otherwise, remain silent. Does anybody hear anything besides muttering? Saint John the Baptist is prophesied as being the angel of the Lord. You see, you have gotten some good for living with me. The angel of the Lord. That's why he did not have wings, but he is depicted this way because he is an angel of the Lord. Also, he is the only one who, having apprehended the truth, and I'm talking about the incarnate Logos, he was the only one. All the others that were standing around him, and remember, there was James and John, the sons of Zebedee. There were many of disciples that Jesus would later choose that were from that group that was with John the Baptist. They didn't say, hey, look, the Messiah is coming. After he was baptized, people said such. We believe this is the Messiah. But it was the confession of John the Baptist. These two things make him preeminent. But what makes him least? You see, if you turn to your Bible, if you turn to your Agabea, you know that black book that you see sometimes gathering dust in your house? You turn to the Agabea, the first hour of the gospel, and you come to the 12th verse. And it says, but as many as believed, but as many as, what does this mean? I told you, there is no such word in Greek for believe. This is because we can't say in English faithed. So we say believe. So pisteo means believe for us only in English, but it is a change. It is your faith in action. So, but as many as believe on his name, the name of the one who saves, which were born, because we're talking about the qualifier here about St. John the Baptist, amongst those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Amongst those born of women, who were born not of blood, or of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. What does it mean to be born of God? It means that after Jesus Christ was known, and after he was crucified, and after he was buried, and after he resurrected, and after he walked amongst his own for 40 days and ascended into heaven, on the 50th day he sent to us the Paraclete, the Comforter, Mawazi in Arabic, the Comforter, the one who would tell us as a reminder of all things we had previously heard. The Holy Spirit does not say something new. The Holy Spirit reminds you of what has been said. Because we accept this, the Spirit of God is in us, and so therefore we are not born of blood, of flesh, or of the will of man. We are not born of these things. John the Baptist was. He did not have the advantage of living after the resurrection of the Lord. He came before the Lord, an angel of God, to prepare his way, to make his path straight, to sow in the wilderness. And he did so. Now, John has his due reward, because when he ascended into heaven, he was received in the most full way. We say, and some people don't think about this very often, through the intercession. What does it mean, through the intercession? Can we ask the intercession of St. Cyril? No. Can we ask the intercession of St. Mark? No. Can we ask the intercession of Matthew, Luke, or John, or all together, all four? No. Who may we speak of in these terms? The Holy Virgin, the Theotokos, St. Mary, the archangels, and John the Baptist. We may ask for his intercession. The difference amongst the others is we ask for their prayers. The difference between praying for somebody and interceding from somebody is intimacy. It's intimacy. John the Baptist was perfect in the law. Of what law was he accused of breaking? His asceticism was beyond belief. But the law doesn't save. The law came by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So to reiterate one last time, John the Baptist is least because he came before the passion of the Lord and before the Holy Spirit. But after he received everything, and he received the fullness, all that we received, and he takes his rightful place. In the hierarchy, he is number three in the kingdom of the Lord amongst those that are created. Saint Mary was created, the angels are created, John the Baptist was created. But created by what? After the Holy Spirit has come, created by the Spirit of God Himself. I speak of the Spirit of God in the gender of maleness, because the Trinity is male, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He came in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and through him received everything that we now have received as being born after him. But ask yourself, when you say, I am a Christian, ask yourself, do I put any impediments between me and my action in my faith? I remember one man, I'll name him. He was a United States Senator, an astronaut, John Glenn. He ran for president. When he ran for president, you know, he bought lots of campaign materials. Lots of them. He did it on credit. When his campaign ended in nothing, and people weren't clamoring for him to speak, funds dried up. So there were lots of little people, especially printers, all over the country who had big bills for his printing. He never paid. And when he asked, because he had personal wealth, talking about John Glenn, you can Google all this. See, this is the thing. If you don't study history, it makes you an imbecile. You have to know history. Otherwise, you can't understand what's going on today. And you will repeat some very bad things. As the aphorism goes, he who does not remember history is doomed to repeat that same history. But you can offer some prophylaxis. John Glenn said, I have to worry about my legacy. What other people are going to inherit from me? Now, what do you think Jesus would say about that? You did not steal from these people, but when your campaign dried up and you were the head of the campaign and the largesse of all this work was for you, then explain why you do not feel in debt simply because your campaign was not successful. And since you do have an abundance of resource, why don't you pay down your debt? Why don't you pay down your debt? There are so many people that put something ahead of God. There are so many people. And then at the end, they want to say to the priest, look, I've put so many things ahead of God, forgive me. It won't work that way. It won't work that way. You can confess all day long about something that you had the power in your hand to do, and you did not do it on purpose. Not because it was a mistake. Not because you weren't aware. It's because you simply did not want to do it. Remember the story of the people that had sold a piece of land in the book of Acts. And they represented half of the cost of the land as the full price they received. And Peter said to Ananias, he said, the money was yours. We would have been happy to have received half. Remember Zacchaeus? The half of my goods, right, I give to the poor. And if I have by any means defrauded someone, I pay them back fourfold, according to the law of Moses. All right. they represented that it was 50%, the 50% they had buried, the 50% that they were offering was the whole. And St. Peter said, what are you trying to do with the Holy Spirit? And Ananias dropped dead. Then his wife came in. She wasn't any too bright. She saw her dead husband. She didn't ask, why is he dead? St. Peter said, is that the price of the land that you received? Oh, yeah. Boink. You can't be forgiven these things. You think you can be devious and use it like a plot. Like the guy who lived a horrible life and then at the end... you all saw Godfather 3, right? And at the end, the Godfather goes to make a confession in Rome. After doing all of those things, what do you think the Lord is going to do to the person who received his confession and gave him absolution? And what do you think he's going to do to the Godfather? You did these things on purpose. You knew who Jesus was. You made a choice. And now, after having made the choice and received the benefit from your choice, you want to say, oh, I take back my choice. If Jesus is willing to do that, then I tell you now, go ahead and do anything you want. And just the day before you die, cop to everything. And you'll be fine. It's not my belief personally. I come down on the side of Jesus having integrity. And I come down on the side of him expecting me, when I say I am a believer, that the only thing that he allows for me getting away with serially is those things that come because of the weakness of my flesh. I told the people in another church the other day, I said, look, suppose the priest tells you you're fat. Right? Tells you you're fat. You have to lose weight. And then you look at the priest and you say, but you're fat. You're even fatter. You don't do that. You never do that. You see, he has a father too. And his father is going to give him direction in proportion to what he thinks is going to benefit his spiritual life. So he has someone to answer to. Simply because you're thinking, well, look, have you seen some of our bishops? They're well fed. Many of them, very well fed. So if somebody comes to me and say, Abuna, you do well, especially at your age, to lose weight. And I'm looking at the person who's telling me, and they're heavier than I am. And I say, I'll do my best. I'll do my best to work on that. Because you see, what is being done now for you and for me and for everyone who will listen is the truth is being represented for us to accept or reject as we will. But we do so on our peril. And wisdom, if it exists in any of us, or in all of us as an aggregate, or individually, if wisdom exists in us, then we listen to the criticism and we embrace it as life-giving, as somebody who is trying to breathe life into someone who is dying, who is trying to help that person, for example, when they do an intubation at a hospital. And they put them on a machine to allow them to breathe, to take some of the strain off of their heart, and to provide the organs with much needed oxygen. So listen and embrace correction. Go through your confessions and use your faith to build your integrity. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, the age of all ages. Amen.